We read from Genesis chapter 44 this morning, and the one that's doing the talking is Judah. He's the fourth son of Jacob and Leah. We only know a few things about him, and most of the things we know about Judah are not very positive. He was one of 10 brothers that was jealous and hated Joseph. He was one of 10 brothers that decided to throw him into a pit. And it was actually Judah's idea to sell him to the Ishmaelites. In Genesis 37, the Bible says, "And Judah said unto his brethren, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." They were jealous of Joseph's relationship to Jacob, their father. They were jealous of Jacob's feeling for Joseph. Joseph's mother was named Rachel, and she was Jacob's favorite wife, and he showed favoritism to Joseph as her son, and the 10 older brothers were jealous of that. They hated Joseph for that, Jacob sent him out to check on him, his 10 older brothers, one time, and they said, "Well, let's just get rid of our brother." They were going to kill him, but as this verse says, Judah's idea said, "Well, why should we kill him and his blood be on our hands? Let's sell him." And so they did. Judah married outside of the family. He married a Canaanite, and he wasn't a very good father. He got his first son, a wife named Tamar. And the Bible said that was wicked, and so God killed him. And so Judah took Tamar, Ur's wife, and gave her to his second son, Onan, so that Onan can raise up Ur's family. Well, Onan refused to do that, so God killed him. And then Judah said to Tamar, "Okay, I'll give you my third son." He wasn't grown yet. His name was Shelah. And when Shelah was grown, Judah didn't do that. Tamar thought she was going to be, you know, an old maid without children, and so the Bible says she disguised herself as a prostitute, went into Judah, and he fathered twins in his daughter-in-law. And so not a very good guy. And yet Judah was the one that God selected, that when Reuben, who was Jacob's oldest son, who should have got the birthright, a double portion of his father's inheritance, became priest of the family, so to speak, and was in the lineage of Christ. When Reuben disqualified himself from that right, the Lord picked Judah to take his place. And you might say, "Well, preacher, why would God pick somebody like that? Why would God pick somebody, you know, that was jealous, hated his brother, sold him as a slave, married outside of the family, wasn't a very good father, fathered children and his daughter-in-law. He didn't know it, but he did. Why would God pick somebody like that to get the birthright from Jacob, to be in the lineage of Christ? Why? And this morning I want to tell you. And I think God did it because of what Judah said in verse 34 that we read a moment ago. And this is the title of my sermon and the theme of my sermon. Here's what he said: "For how shall I go up to my father, and the lad be not with me? How shall I go home to my dad, and this little boy be not with me?" So let me tell you the story, what's going on. This is the second time that these brothers had gone to Egypt to buy food. The first time they went, there was only 10 of them. They were accused of being spies. And they said, no, we're not spies. The ruler of Egypt, most of you know who that is, I'm not going to mention his name yet, but the ruler in Egypt, it wasn't Pharaoh, but it was the one that passed out the food, the one that had gathered all the food in the times of good harvest and had saved it, and now he was responsible for selling the food in the time of famine. He said, "You guys are spies. You've come to spy out the land." And these brothers said, "No, we're 10 sons of one man. One of our brothers gone. He's no longer at home. That's the one they sold into slavery. By the way, that's the one they stood before. They didn't know it was Joseph. It was Joseph that accused them of being a spy, of spies. And they said, we're 10 sons of one man, one of our brothers gone, and one brother's at home with our dad. And the ruler of Egypt said, no, you're spies, and he threw them in jail. He finally let them go. He kept one of them in prison. He kept Simon in prison, and he says, you're not going to buy any more food from Egypt unless you bring your younger brother back. Don't even come back unless your younger brother is with you. They went home. Dad, Jacob, was distraught. He had lost Joseph. He thought Joseph was dead. You remember his brothers brought home his coat of many colors that Jacob had made, and they dipped it in animal blood. And Jacob thought Joseph was dead. Now Simon was in prison in Egypt. And Jacob said, you're not going to take Benjamin. That was his youngest son, the 12th son, another son of Rachel. You're not going to take Benjamin back to Egypt. Not going to happen. Well, they ran out of food. Jacob said to his sons, go back to Egypt and buy us some more food. He said, we can't go back unless you let Benjamin go with us. And dad said, well, why'd you even tell the ruler of Egypt about Benjamin? And they said, well, he asked us. We don't know why he asked us. He asked us if we had any more brothers. He asked us how you were doing. We have no idea why he would be interested. They didn't know it was Joseph. He was asking about his little brother. He was asking about his dad. And they said, he told us that we're not going to get in to see him. We can't buy any more food unless Benjamin is with us. And Jacob said, okay, take Benjamin. And they did. They went back to Egypt. They stood before Joseph. Simon was released. Joseph invited him to his house for dinner. They were treated better. Again, he wasn't Pharaoh. He was second in command in Egypt. But something happened. Joseph's silver cup was stolen, or supposedly it was stolen. You that know the story know what really happened, but it was stolen. And they found it in the bag of Benjamin. And the ruler that sold the food said, well, everybody can go except for this one. He stole my cup. He's going to be my slave. The rest of you can take your food and you can go back to your father, but not this young man. He has to stay here with me and be my servant. That's what's going on in chapter 44, where Judah is standing before the ruler of Egypt. He didn't know it was his brother Joseph. He was standing before the ruler of Egypt, and he was pleading for Benjamin's freedom. And he said, how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? Now, why did he say that? Why did Judah say that? Three reasons. Number one, he said it because it was his job. He had become surety for Benjamin. We read it there. He told Joseph that. I've become surety for him. Let me go back to Genesis 43. And Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go that we may live and not die, both we and thou and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him, if I bring him not up unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. When Judah went to his dad and said, Dad, we've got to go back to Egypt and get some food. But the ruler of Egypt is not going to let us see him unless we have Benjamin with us. Jacob said, I don't want to let him go. Judah said, look, Dad, trust me. I will be responsible for him. I will make sure that he comes back. If he doesn't come back, I'll take the blame forever. And so he stood before this ruler of Egypt and said, how shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? It's my job. I took it on as my responsibility. I became his guardian. I became his watchman. It's my responsibility to bring him back to my father. So he said it because it was his job. He said it because he loved his brother. Love is not just a feeling, it's an action. Judah said to the ruler of Egypt, I'll take his place. I'll be your slave. I know he's guilty. I know it looks like he stole your cup. And I know there's a price that must be paid. But instead of making him pay that price, let me pay the price. Let me stay here the rest of my life. Let me be your slave. He would no longer see his father. He would no longer see his family. He would no longer see his home. But he says, I love my brother. Take me instead. How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? And then number three, he loved his father. He saw what happened to Jacob when Joseph disappeared. He saw how Jacob mourned. He saw how Jacob wept. He saw how Jacob almost died when he thought Joseph was dead. And now Benjamin. Benjamin, again, the only two sons of Jacob and Rachel, the youngest of the sons. And here's what Judah says. If I go back without Benjamin, it will kill my father. He will die. How can I go back? How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? It's my job. It's my job. I love my brother and I love my dad. I can't go back without him. Now, lest you think I'm done, I've made my 3 points and I'm all done. I'm not. There ought to be some people this morning that rise up and say the same thing that Judah said. How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? You see, I'm going to let Jacob in the story, the father, represent God. And I'm going to let the lad, Benjamin, represent many different people in our life. I'm going to let that lad represent our spouses and our children and our parents and our grandparents and our grandchildren and our brothers and our sisters and our nephews and our nieces and our aunts and our uncles and the friends and the neighbors and the co-workers and any other person we have in our life. That's who that little lad Benjamin represents. And there ought to be some blood-bought children of God that rise up and say, how shall I go up to my heavenly father? How shall I go up to heaven and my wife not be with me? Or my husband not be with me? Or my children not be with me? Or my grandchildren not be with me? Or my parents not be with me? Or my brothers and sisters not be with me? Or my nieces and nephews not be with me? Or my aunts and uncles not be with me? Or my friends not be with me? Or my neighbors not be with me? Or those that I work with not be with me? How can I go to heaven? How can I go up to my heavenly father and these folks not be with me? Now, why should we say that? For the same 3 reasons. Number one, it's our job. It's our commission. It's why God saved us. John 15:16, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Matthew 4:19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Mark 16:15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. It's our job. It's our commission to get people saved, to tell them about Jesus, to get them into the kingdom of God. How shall I go up to my father and the lad be not with me? It's our job. Number two, we love them. We love them. Love's not a feeling. Love's an action. There ought to be people in our life that we love so much that we say to God, God, if I can't get them saved, if I can't bring them to Jesus, then let me take their place. Let me take their place. That's what Moses did. Exodus 32. And Moses returned to the Lord and said, oh, the people have sinned a great sin, and they have made them gods of gold. Yet not, if thou wilt forgive their sin, and if not, blot me, I pray thee, out of thy book, which thou hast written. Moses said, God, this people have committed a great sin, and I know you're going to punish them. Please forgive them. And if you can't forgive them, then go ahead and put your punishment on me too. Blot me out of the book. I love this people so much that I'm willing to forego whatever I have coming for their sake. That's what Paul said. He said in Romans chapter 10, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He said in Romans chapter 9, "For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." That's what Jesus did for us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus said, "I'll take your place. I'll pay for your sin." That's what Jesus did on Calvary. He had no sin of his own. He was paying for our sin. He laid down his life for our life. He paid the price, the penalty that we owe. He was separated from God. He suffered hell for us. He took our place. He said, "I love you. I will take your place." Let me ask you this morning, is there anybody in your life that you love so much that you would say to God, "God, I want them saved so much, I'm willing to take their place. I'm willing to suffer what they have to suffer because they've rejected Christ. I'm willing to go to hell for them." Now, I know that it doesn't work this way. I know it's not possible for us to do that. But there ought to be people that in our life that we love so much that if we could, we would say, "God, if I can't bring them to Christ, if I can't see them saved, if I can't lead them into the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ, then blot me out of the book. Blot me out of the book. I don't want to go either." Why should we say it? Because it's our job. Because we love those people. And then number three, because we love God. We love the Father. 2 Peter 3:9, "The Lord's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God wants everybody to go to heaven. God, listen to me. God wants everybody to go to heaven. There's not one person that's ever walked the face of the earth that God wants to go to hell. Say, "Preacher, there's been some pretty wicked people that have walked the face of the earth. They've been despicable and their crimes have been dastardly. I mean, how can you say that God wants everybody to go to heaven? Because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I know most people in this room this morning. I know most of you are saved. I know you've accepted Christ. You're on your way to heaven. But as the pastor of this church, I look around and I don't know about some people. I don't know if they've been saved. I don't know if they've asked Christ to be their Savior. And as I look around this morning, I ask myself the question, how can I go up to my Father and not bring that person with me? How can I go to heaven and not bring that person with me? How can I go up and stand before God and not bring that person with me? This morning, every Christian, every blood-bought child of God, every person on their way to an eternity in heaven ought to say, "For how shall I go up to my Father and the lad be not with me?" Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Judah. I believe that he erased all the bad things that he's done in this life when he stood before Joseph and begged for Benjamin. I believe he's our example, what you want us to do with people in our life that we love. Members of our family, friends who still don't know Christ. How can we look forward to heaven knowing they're not going to be there? Father, I pray it would motivate us. I pray that it would move us to shed tears and go forth and bear that precious seed, the seed of the gospel, and tell them that they're a sinner. Tell them that there's a penalty for that sin, and that penalty is to be separated from God. And tell them how much Jesus loved them and how Jesus went to the cross and paid what they owed so that they too could have a life in heaven if they'd simply asked Jesus to save them from the penalty of their sin. And I pray that you would speak to the heart of every Christian. You would burden the heart of every Christian. You would lay on our heart this morning somebody in our family, somebody in our sphere of influence, somebody that's never received Christ. And our hearts would break and our eyes would weep. And we would go bearing the precious seed of the gospel to that person and tell them about Jesus. And so, Father, I pray for this invitation. I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of those that are here that have never received Christ. How can any of us from this church go without them? How can we? And then, Father, I pray you'd speak to the heart of every Christian. Give us a burden. Give us a broken heart for those in our life that don't know Christ. Bless this time of invitation. Use it to build your kingdom. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.